96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand, We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Live off the record with Chivago Lang is brought to you by Fidelity Bank of Bahamas, RF Bank and Trust, and Rawstar Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I hope you're doing well. I hope you're doing a little better than me because I started the day out far earlier than I would have liked. Been up from 4:30, caught on a flight, came over, ran right into an event where our prime minister was speaking, and then been going ever since. It's all good. And thank God for his grace. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316, 325-4316. Or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can text us on 4224796. That's 4224796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 4393043. That's 4393043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. All right. Text it to me. Say, take it easy. I'm good. So yesterday we started a discussion about parenting boys in the Bahamas, and we ran out of time. And so I promised that I would get back to it, and we're going to finish that up today because there's so much there. We talked about some of the things that we want to do as we parent these boys, you know, like being present with them. And that means present in all kinds of ways that we can be present with these boys. We talked about empowering them and, you know, talked about instructing them. Instructing their behavior and so forth, right? And so in addition to that, yes, we talked about observing them, observing their personality formation so that you can get a sense of where they are going. You know, they are arrows in your hand. And if you skillfully shape that arrow as best you can and point it in the right direction, it may hit a bullseye for its own life. Right? And so we did talk about that. And this texter is a female. And so the female was listening. Let me see if any guy was listening to us yesterday, right? And so we want to continue along those lines of some of the things that we can do, some of the broad principles and that form the framework for how we approach parenting our boys. Guess what? Not almost, every single one of the things that I mentioned is true for parenting girls also, right? The only difference might be in the manner in which you approach it. Like, you know, I've said it's important to wrestle with boys. You could wrestle with girls. You could wrestle with them, you know, of course, you know. But, you know, they are a little more... tender, so you don't be careful. But a lot of the things apply to parenting girls. And I want to talk about parenting girls because that's a special one too for me. But today we're talking about parenting our boys. If you ever see a boy go wrong, really, if you see a boy go wrong, you observe, and again, we're talking about boys today, so I'm not suggesting seeing girls go wrong, don't, but you just observe a great tragedy. It really is. And what is so intriguing about it is this. For the most part, when that child is born, that boy child is born, now, saving except for some physical, mental disability or something like that, the child may be born with, and that's beyond anyone's control once that happens, that child is full of potential, just like every other child. You watch that boy child crawl on the floor, learning initially to walk, to move about. You don't see anything that says, this is going to go wrong, this is going to go bad. You see them struggle to hold on to the table and then stand up and what have you. Don't think there's anything going to go wrong. You see them make it past one and start moving about and playing. Generally speaking, when that boy child begins to go wrong, and by wrong, I mean that boy child sees himself as choosing things that could be of harm to himself or to other people. When you see that happening, that's as that child begins to learn and take on thoughts about the world and what it is. If they see the world as something that threatens them, that boy child is going to grow up fearful and angry and in a defensive mode. Because remember, let me tell you one thing you don't have to teach any human being. You don't have to teach any human being that it wants to live as opposed to die. The human being comes wired to survive. Without having the knowledge of food, it's body set. Something is desperately wrong that we have not had something to nourish us. And so the baby cries. Without teaching it water, its body tells it something is desperately wrong. That's what the sensation of thirst is. It's telling it something is wrong. If that body is punctured and blood starts to drain out, that fight for life, that body does all that it can to heal itself, and only to the extent that it is overwhelmed, it will try to survive and may in fact survive if the damage is not too overwhelming. So the body, so living, we are wired to live. We are wired to live. And one of the things that separates us from other organisms, though, is that our brains have the capacity to think abstractly about the world. If a antelope does not see a lion anywhere or anything that threatens it, it will not feel threatened. It is alert to its environment, but it won't feel threatened. And as soon as a lion is far enough or distant from it, it will go right back to calm. So instinctively, it's wired to survive its environment, right? The difference between us and them is that in order for them to be fearful, they have to actually experience in a physical way the danger, not us. We can imagine danger, and our bodies will treat that imagined danger the same way it treats a real danger. And so we are wired for abstractual, we're trained to think of the world in abstract ways that can also cause us to be in a constant fight or flight mode. And if that child grows up thinking this environment of mine continues to be a threat to me and everybody around me and nothing but people trying to get rid of me, trying to do me and trying to hurt me, trying to harm me, you will have a child in constant fight mode and you wonder why they're always angry and always fighting because they see mommy, daddy, brother, sister, uncle, auntie, strangers, they see them all the same way as a potential threat to my existence on planet Earth. And they're learning that. They're learning that. If they see an environment that's safe and that tends to be nurturing and tends to be comforting and tends to be supporting and so, tends to be protecting, then they see the world in a different way. And so these boys, as they grow up, they all have the same potential for good, for excelling, for striving, saving, and except for some physical or mental disability that may hinder, hamper, delay, or slow their development. Beyond that, the rest of it is their interaction with their mommy and their daddies in the first instances that becomes the first models to them of the kind of human beings are. Because what the child does is the child looks at their interaction with mommy, daddy, brothers and sisters, and the child starts to generalize that outward. Okay, they're safe. They're pretty nice. They're pretty decent. They're pretty comforting. They're pretty nurturing. So maybe the rest of these people like that. And then only when they experience that differently, or even only when they are taught differently, they tend to see things differently. So we have in our environment, in our interactions with these children, the opportunity to be extremely influential on their emotional, psychological development. We do. And unknowingly, unwittingly, and perhaps, you know, regretfully, we do harm to that development. We do. We don't. There's no parenting manual that comes to us in the first instance. And so, for the most part, people are trying just to make it happen. And so you make mistakes, especially that first child. That first child probably gets the blunt of all your mistakes and becomes the one from whom you learn more parenting lessons than anybody else. Anyway, so we're parenting these boys. You notice I try to avoid saying raising because I've been taught that you raise herds. You raise cattle. You don't raise human beings. You parent them, right? And I accept that admonition. So what's one of the other things you want to do when you are parenting boys? You have to engage them. You have to engage them. But what do I mean by engage them? That means that you want to be able to find some common ground of mutual exchange, communication-wise, activity-wise, and what have you. You want to find some common ground of that kind of way so that they can open up to you and you open up to them. That's the engagement that needs to happen. Now, here is the challenge we have with engagement, not merely with boys, but on all our human relationship levels. Here is what happens to us. We don't do it maliciously for the most part. We do it ignorantly for the most part. Here is the challenge with engagement. We approach engagement from the perspective of what I know, what I like, what I do, what I. So we make a kind of tacit assumption that you are like me. And the things I like and the things I find interesting, the things I find sensible, you should find also. And
when we do that, we miss the fact that we are so different, so many of us. We are different. We really are. Even where we are similar, there are still differences that can exist between us. And as a result of that, we miss the engagement because we refuse or do not know that really to engage another soul, I first must know that soul. To engage another soul, I first must know that soul. A very simple way of seeing it is this. If I meet somebody who speaks Japanese, which I do not speak in any fluent way, if I want to communicate with that Japanese person, I have to find a way common to us both to communicate. I have to be able to, we have to find a way. And if it can't be through that common language, then it has to be through some means, maybe pictures, maybe. But the engagement is limited where the common language is absent. And so this is where the invitation comes to the parent from the boy. The invitation is, please get to know me. Please get to understand. Please get to see me for who I am, not for the person you are trying to make me, but see who I am. What I think, as small as the boy is, what do I think? That's how the engagement happens. And so the first step in that engagement is an observation to know. Listen to these words for those of us in the Judeo-Christian faith. For this is life eternal, that ye may know him, the true and the living God, and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. Listen, this is life eternal, that ye may know, that ye may know, that ye may know. This is how we get to, this is how we get to the fullness of somebody's life, through knowing them. And so your child is not just your possession. Your child isn't your possession. Your child isn't just a little something. It is a person evolving into a personality, evolving into a set of thoughts about the world, evolving into certain aspirations about the world. And you want to know. You want to know, what is this child becoming? What is this child thinking? And so forth. And they may not be able to articulate it in the clearest kind of way, but that's the invitation. The invitation is to get to know. And that's a part of the observing. When is this child most motivated? When is this boy most motivated? Is this boy most motivated when he is challenged? Is this boy most motivated when he is disciplined? Is he most motivated when he is praised? Is he most motivated when he is threatened, rewarded? You're not making judgments about what is right or wrong about the child's motivation yet. You're just observing what the motivation is. You ask the child, do you believe in the devil? And the child say no. And you don't get time for judgment. You believe in God? No. That's not a time for judgment. You are learning. You've just found out from this child what it believes. You ask the child, do you like your cousin? And the child say, I don't know. You want to know. So engagement means finding a common ground with that child. That may be, you don't like to play PlayStation, but maybe you let the child teach you and that gives you a common ground. You don't like to play basketball, but maybe that you try it out and that gives you a common ground. Find something. And it's for me, I could tell you, it's like experimentation. Because these children, figuring them out is take some. So me, I have to try Connect Four. I have to try Game of Life. I have to try Concentration, the card game. I have to try um, um, uh, what they call that thing now? Would you rather? So two things found to connect on, three things. Basketball, would you rather, and concentration. Right? But you want to engage that child. You want that child to feel like a person that is seen, that's heard, that matters, that you know, in that is an independent soul in their own right. And boys love that. Boys love to be engaged. Trust me when I tell you, boys love to be engaged, right? So let me tell you all how I the sneak engagement in. As I sneak engagement in, right? So I found that if you say to a boy, you need to do some work. You need to learn how to do hard work. So I can teach you how to do hard work. They build up a resistance to that. So they approach hard work with a problem now. So what I do is I don't even do an intro. I'm not doing even any speeches. So I'm outside and I am cleaning out the shed. And so I'm going to shout, hey, Save, come here, please. And I'm going to say, listen, do this. See that pile right there? I need you to dump them right there in the corner where the garbage people are going to pick them up, okay? And it looks a little daunting to him at first. I could see it on his face, right? But I'm doing it. I'm not even going to flinch when I see the face, the frown coming, because that's not my interest. This is engagement part. So then while I said, you know what? Yeah, take these gloves. Take these gloves. Oh, you're putting on gloves. Now you feel like a man. Now you got gloves on. And then I do a little something. So now all of a sudden we're talking, wow. He can tell me now, oh, man, listen, I almost get this pile done, man. You see me rolling, right? Engagement happens. So rather than speechifying, demonstrate it by your involvement and participation in the thing that you're trying to involve in. Them in. And don't worry about this that day. It comes over time. And you keep doing that. You be cooking. And you say, listen, come here. Can you cut up these onions for me? Can you scale these fish for me? Well, I don't know how to scale fish. Okay, here. Let me show you this one. I can do the first one for you and you the second one. Engage when you have to engage boys. You have to engage them. And that engage when you make connections with them. That lends to both their development and to your relationship going forward. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
So much going on in the world today? Only accepting cash at your business can be risky. We offer you and your customers safety, convenience, and the flexibility of a fixed or mobile terminal. Take it with you, on the move and on the go, because business should never stop. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit us at any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good.
take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, letting you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon, where we're talking about parenting boys in the Bahamas and some of the things that we could do around that. I'm not suggesting I have an exhaustive list. I'm not suggesting I have the only list, and I'm happy to hear any list you have. As a matter of fact, we hear from the great Bishop Simeon Hall says, parents, especially fathers, should teach children how to handle failure. I agree 100%. I agree 100% because boys don't like to lose. Well, I suspect girls don't like to lose either, but boys don't like to lose. And when you see them losing and they start crying and so forth and so forth, that's why when I play basketball with my son, and I don't let him win. He gotta earn a win. I'm not gonna let him win. And when he loses, I acknowledge his disappointment. I see it in his face, and I encourage him, just go hard and long, and I coach him and so forth and so forth. Now he wins one or two games. Now that's when we shooting now, because he's not strong as me. So if I take him inside, ain't but if we shoot, he could win, right? So you have to teach him how to succeed well and to fail well, right? Because succeeding poorly also is a problem. If you win and you all in people's face and you bringing people down and you get all arrogant and caught up in yourself, because that's happened a couple of times. He wins and then he won't boast. And I say, okay, no problem. Then the next time I go on the court and I mash him right up to show him, listen, boy, you don't win every day. And you got to handle your succeeding well enough, because you don't want to be all up in people's face like you always can win. So, yes, you want to teach them to handle both succeeding and failing well. In the Bahamas, quite frankly, my own observation is we try to make failing at something or you want at something shameful on the person. What is shame? Shame is public humiliation. And what is humiliation? So let me see if I can help you how someone helped me understand humiliation, right? So generally speaking, we put across a certain identity to the public, to the society, the public. We want to portray to the public a certain way of seeing us, and it is always favorably. We want to put across to the public that we are beautiful, that we are handsome, that we are confident, that we are successful, that we have it all together, that we are, you know, morally sound and all this kind of stuff. This is what we try to put. And as long as that is intact, we feel accepted in the society. When we do something that others come to know as being a breach of the norms of our societies and the standards of our societies, or in contradiction to what we believe, what they believe to have been true about us, when that is used to diminish us, when that is used to say to the society, see, she ain't, he ain't what they say they were, look, they bad, they wasting me and so forth, that's public shame. The shame. Now, shame has a place in societies, in communities. Shame is supposed to be a way of saying, listen, we have a standard that protects and safeguards our community, that helps us to be strong, helps us to be prosperous, helps us to be sound, and so forth. So we have these standards that exist for that purpose. And when you breach it, what the community says is, oh, you have acted contrary to our standard and you are therefore threatening our community. The community points that out, and we're supposed to recoil in a sense of shame. But what the community should do immediately is restore us. Once we acknowledge the wrong and the breach, the community is supposed to bring you back without any kind of any kind of attached abandonment of total inclusion in the community. Example of this, the so-called prodigal son. The father did not hedge in accepting that son back. Gave him the ring, gave him the coat, threw him a party. He, whatever shame existed, okay, you know you were wrong. You acknowledge you were wrong. You came back humbly to try and get some place and space back here. No, I'm gonna fully restore you. And that's where shame is properly applied. Where there is the acknowledgement of breach, but the full restoration. When children, when boys feel like the shame haunts them for the rest of their life, they walk around in anger because the anguish of that of their failure makes them feel threatened to their in their existence. And when you are threatened, you are going to lash out. And that's what we do too poorly in this community. Oh, he tried to start a business and it failed. Oh, she tried to go in that pageant and she failed. Oh, he went inside that tournament and he ain't do nothing. Stupid stuff. Mind you, these folks will never try at anything to ever be in a position to succeed or fail, but they then pounce on other people for their trying. It's an ignorance, a great ignorance, and it is a damaging something to the esteem of a child. So you don't want to do that, right? So you want to teach that succeeding and failing are dimensions, dichotomies of a world of existence, and far more often than not, failing precedes succeeding because failings is how learning comes so successful. That's what you teach children. Try again. Try again. Try again. Learn what you did wrong. So when I'm on the basketball court and my son is shooting and he misses, I say, what do you notice happened just now? And I got this from his coach. You know, I didn't even learn this from myself. I got this from his coach, Coach Henfield. Coach Henfield asked him, what did you do wrong? He said, what do you mean? Did the ball go long or the ball go short? Did the ball hit the front of the rim? Did the ball hit the back of the rim? And he says, okay, well, if the ball hit the back of the rim, what is it that you think would happen? He'd say, I shot too strong. He said, exactly. So what's the adjustment you have to make? Did the ball go left? Did the ball go right? Where was your elbow when the ball went right? And so you learn from your mistakes. And if you learn sufficiently, success the next time is more probable. So you could listen to people who try to pull you down because you didn't get it the way you wanted the first time around, or you could simply ignore them and move on. And eventually when success comes, they'll want to join you. We have a text here that says, don't play with would you rather with anyone. Go and see the movie Would You Rather, and you would understand why you should not play that game. First of all, my friend, I have seen the movie. I trust me when I tell you, if there's one thing I understand, that's a movie. Okay, and I'll play Would You Rather with my son every single day because it's an imagination game. And what we have to also teach children is to learn to imagine. It's also a game that makes you have to make choices about what you think is worst or worst among worst or best among best. And Would You Rather, the movie, was all about bad things happening. But you could say to a child, would you rather be an astronaut or would you rather be a basketball player? Would you rather be a basketball player or would you rather be a baker? So see, expand your own understanding of the thing and don't let a movie cause you, because Would You Rather was around before the movie. All right? You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
So much going on in the world today, only accepting cash at your business can be risky. Let Fidelity offer you and your customers safety, convenience, and and the flexibility of a fixed or mobile terminal. Take it with you, on the move and on the go, because business should never stop. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit us at any of our branches.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
Always on the go? Miss the show? You can now listen anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
I'm not afraid. Take a stand, everybody, everybody. Come take my hand, walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. So glad that you could join us here today. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259, or you can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, wow, Mr. Lang, what a good show as always. Me and you don't agree on everything, but you are the most versatile talk show host. This is a very timely topic, and your advice is on point. Keep up the good work. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. This text says, great show as usual. I think kids become what or who they idealize. For example, in the 80s, the drug dealers were more popular than baseball players. So in the 80s, most young people wanted to be drug dealers. I don't think that is true at all. I do think that there are young people who idolize those persons, but I don't think it is true that most people wanted to be drug dealers. I don't think so at all. Not in my experience. And it's interesting you should talk about the 80s, because tomorrow we can talk about the 80s for sure. Yeah, I don't think so. I think there were far more people who idolized them and who perhaps wanted that, but I think the vast majority of children were not thinking along those lines at all. All right. So we're talking about parenting boys and some of the things that we could do in the course of that parenting of boys. You know,
a boy is going to find himself as he moves along the path. He's going to find himself moving among a pack of boys. And he is going to face enormous pressures of belonging. He is going to get in the midst of those boys, and those boys, based on their own parenting, on their own environment, on their own values and their own sense of life, is going to believe that the way you do things in the world is you got to show yourself strong, you got to show yourself aggressive, or you got to, you know, show yourself to be the big bad one, or you got to make sure nobody mess with you, or you got to, you got to, if to be a man, they got, they learn, some of them will learn, is to smoke weed or smoke a cigarette, or drink this or drink that, or to get girls, or to cuss and swear, or to talk like this or to talk like that. And so he is going to find himself in that environment. Maybe in your environment, you taught him cussing and drinking and smoking is not a thing he wants to pursue. But in that environment, it isn't the smoking, the drinking, or the girls, or the talking, the cussing, or that kind of thing that he's interested in. He is interested in belonging, because he understands instinctively, nobody told this to him, he understands as an organism, as a creature, a socialized creature, that his survival improves if he is in a gang. And listen, I don't mean an organized gang like that. I mean if he's in a pack, that alone he is not as strong as he is when he is with a pack. He knows that. His body's memory over millions and millions of years of development tells him that he is better off that way. And so he wants to belong. He does not want to be isolated, because isolation feels like shame. Isolation feels like rejection. Isolation feels like not mattering. Isolation feels like being worse than, less than. And he doesn't want that. But the condition of belonging is to participate with the group. And this is why people do in groups things they would not do on their own, because it is in that doing with the group that I feel the thrill and the euphoria of belonging that makes me feel safer. And so now, in the initial stages of his interaction with the pack, he has judgments to make. And how do we make judgments? We draw on our experiences. We draw on our knowledge. What is there in my head? What is there in my memory? What is there in my understanding that tells me how to navigate, maneuver in this space? Do I need, have I in my memory, have I in my intelligence, have I in my understanding sufficient self-confidence, self-esteem, reassurance of my safety and belongingness beyond this little pack I am dealing with now, to say, you know what? If that's the price of belonging, I'm good. Or have I not that? And therefore, to belong, I'm prepared to do that. This is the dynamics and the calculation, sir, ma'am, that boy has to make. And so the question comes, did you arm him with prior to that engagement? You can't keep him from it, man. Keeping him from it may be the worst thing. Don't keep him from it. You got to arm him with the ability to make decisions and discretions in that dynamic environment. And it may fail at first. And if you are engaged, then you can, yeah, it's peer pressure. I was trying not to so much use the word, but because that's so cliche, but it is peer pressure. You know what peer means? And when I explain to young people peer pressure, I explain to them the contradiction of the term. You say, how is it contradictory? Well,
a peer, P-E-E-R, is an equal. And so how does an equal apply greater pressure to me than I could apply to them if they are my equal? Pressure is area divided by force. So if you regard area as your intellectual capacity and force as that which is applied by the other, and the other is an equal, then the only thing that makes your pressure build up is if your intelligence is diminished. And by intelligence, I don't just mean your calculating, articulating skills. I mean the, how things work. If that's diminished, so let's suppose the force, so pressure is area divided by force. Or is it the other way around? Force divided by area, yeah, right? So if you want to get the number down, you have to make sure the denominator is either increasing or right? The is increasing, or the numerator, the top number, increasing. In other words, if an equal, which is a peer, is applying pressure to me, the only thing that makes that pressure too great for me is not that me and them are not equal, it's what is going on in between my ears, in my head. Right? But the calculation that the child is making is what's important. The calculation about whether some act is worth doing in order to belong. Sense of belonging elsewhere, in my family, in my broader community. Is that so solidly intact that I'd say, well, you know, guys, you know, I appreciate your invitation through this means to belong, but I'm good. You may not say that in those words, but your actions will, by walking away, may say so. The question is, what are you arming that child with the capacity to do once they get in that environment? And some of us could be intentional about this. I used to have to have the kinds of talks with my sons that subjected them to help them understand, appreciate that I used to put a $5 bill in their hand, and I used to call them names and say stuff like that to them, and I asked, how much money you have in your hand? $5. So I said, that's just how it is when people are urging you, when people are cajoling you, when people are trying to shame you into doing something. They don't change the value of what you have or who you are by that. Only when you let that in your head can that do that to you. This text says, we must also teach our boy children, not only about success being bred from failure, but also that some persons have become successful by having a lack of integrity. For example, Republican George Santos. But they should not follow these bad examples. Well, I certainly get your point that there are what might appear to be successes that people have who have done the wrong set of things. That is for sure. No question about that. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We have to take a break for news. When we come back, we will continue our discussions. We'll be back after the news break.
Take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been can't down the same road.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I ain't marched the car. The lady run into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers to do so are as follow. You can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316. Or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We're talking about ways in which we can parent our boys, these wonderful human beings that we are seeking to parent. And we talked about some things that we can do in that regard. One that is important to do with boys that can be a bit of a challenge for a parent is, like, you know, while you want to keep them engaged, you also want to be able to let them go. What do I mean by that? I mean, like, parenting offers a very difficult managing act, to the extent that if you could control your child in every way possible, chances are you could help them avoid a great many hurts, a great many harms, a great many difficulties and challenges in the world. You'd try to spare them that. If you could control the meaning that you could control how they dress, if you can control where they went, if you control what they said, if you can control all the things imaginable about them, you could possibly spare them a lot of things. And I suspect that if some of us could, we probably would. Out of love now, mind you, not at anything other than love. We want to protect them. We want to keep them safe. The problem, though, is that we can't control them. And probably trying to control them is the wrong thing. Because they have to come into their own space in the world. They have to come into their own in the world. they have to come into their own sense of things. Even the things that you teach the boy, even the things you teach him that you believe very strongly in yourself, unless that boy comes to evaluate that and own that as his own, it shall never really be part of him. And when tested, that boy may very easily abandon what you believe he believed all that while. I've seen this so many times. I've seen you tell me, brother producer, tell me if you ain't seeing this. Young people, they're churchy. When they're in high school, churchy, 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 like they the most decentest human beings on planet Earth, go to church all the time, they're well-behaved in school, and then they graduate, and when they get on their own, they just bust loose. Bust loose. I mean, bust wide open. They doing all the stuff in the world. You wondering, like for real, boy, that's y'all? For real, boy? You dealing drugs? But y'all used to be in church 5 days of the week. You the one who tell me about Jesus. And they boy says, why? Because they were holding on to something mommy and daddy gave them that they earnestly wanted to hold on to, but they didn't grab that for themselves, grapple with that, give them chance an opportunity to wrestle with their own doubts and their own fears about things. You got to give a boy that opportunity. You got to give him a chance to feel out his own thoughts about the world, his own beliefs about the world. You have to give him an opportunity to get some nicks and nags and to get some scars and bruisings while even you try to protect him from killing himself or damaging or injuring himself or too badly. But you can't keep him so close that you don't allow them to explore. Even as little toddlers, you'll notice what they do. They will venture out and then they look back. The looking back is they want to see, okay, is mommy and daddy in a safe enough distance? And then they explore a little out some further. You all ever notice that? They keep looking back. At some point, they don't look back like that no more, that frequently. Because they're gaining a comfort about the world. An understanding about what works and don't work and what's dangerous and not dangerous. You got to give them that opportunity. Letting go. Letting them even make some mistakes, some bad choices that you can't stop them from making. So listen to me, man. So you bring them up right. You tell them, listen, man, no sex before marriage, right? I mean, that's what you say. That's your thing, right? Even though plenty of people have said that and been done it before. But I mean, I'm just saying what you say. But guess what? Mommy, daddy, you can never be around a child and his girlfriend or a girl or even a boy or a girl. You can't be around them 24/7. Can't happen. You teach the lessons you teach, and you got to trust that they adhere, and you got to trust that if they don't adhere, that the consequences will not kill them, destroy them, etc. And or they own the consequences of their choices. When you are teaching a boy to grow into a man, what exactly are you teaching him to be exactly? What do you mean by this? You these boys by yourself. What is the man you are trying to teach him to be? What does that mean anyways? As distinct from a woman, what is it that you are trying to teach him to be as a man? What is that? What is that admired man that you are trying to teach him to be? Because ultimately, is this not the guidance? Is this not what our parenting is seeking to do? To develop a man? To develop a woman? But what does that mean? What does that mean? If he becomes that which you think you are seeking to raise, what is that exactly? Text me, tell me. What is that? What is that that makes you step back and go, ah, yeah, that's, I'm so proud of that. I'm so happy about that. Is that a perfect human being? Is that a human being who don't curse? A human being who don't drink? A human being who don't smoke? Is that a human being who saved himself from marriage? Is that a human being who in marriage is totally faithful? Who is that? Who? What is that you are raising? Is that someone who will fight when somebody challenges them? What is that? Is that someone who will turn away from a fight when somebody challenges them? What is that you are trying to raise when you call it a man that I have raised, and what a good man I have raised? What y'all mean? Some of y'all, come on, tell me. Some of y'all, tell me. Tell me what you're trying to raise. Anybody raise a man? A man that you could say, now that's a man. That there is a man right there. You see that there? That there? That's a man. You raise one? What you raise? One who all the women them could say, boy, sucky, sucky now. What you raise? Because if we have not a vision of the thing we are seeking to develop, then what are we developing? Are we hoping by some stroke of imagination it'll work? Something will work out. What you raising? What is it that? What are you parenting? Somebody talk to me. I'm going to give you a chance. This says, Shivago, we have to let them go. But remember, when they buck their toe, they fall right back in your lap. Yeah, but they fall back. They fall back. Remember the prodigal son? You remember the prodigal son? You remember the father? The father said, listen, man, give me what belongs to me. And did the father quarrel with him? The father gave him what he needed and he left. Was the father around when he came back to his senses after he had squandered all he had and was living, eating husk and feeding with the pigs? No, father was not around. There is no conditionality to this letting go. You let go. You let go. When they are old enough to make decisions and you can't force them to make other decisions, you don't have a choice but to let them go. And when they buck their toe, if they come to their senses, and that's the only thing that can bring them back to, if they come to their senses. But who must come to their senses? They must come to their senses. They must come to their senses. So it takes a lot of work. So he was still looking for him, though, and spotted him from afar. He was looking for him, but I spotted him from afar off on his property, though. Where did the prodigal son go? Home. Let me tell you all something. There is a difference between lost and left. The good shepherd searched for the lost sheep. The good father let the left go until the left came back to his senses. Okay, don't get it mixed up. You go looking for the lost, you have to wait for the left to return, if they do. It's a big difference. Because the left is a willful decision, and a man's will cannot and should not be violated. That's your will. That's what you want to do. You're a man. Go right ahead. The lost has inadvertently found himself in unfamiliar territories. That's a different story altogether. Go look for the loss. You wait for the left. This text says, Mr. Lang, in the Bahamas, we don't let our kids will have kids and their kids still in mommy house. Yeah, well, all of that is still the same thing. If your child has a child, you have to love, nurture, and support that child. Right? I mean, you didn't want that to happen, but it happened. Now what? What do you do now? Cuss and carry on. And yes, you're disappointed. Yes, you're angry. But now what? Now two lives need your help and your guidance. You could decide how you can do that, but so what? It's done now. You tried your best. You gave your guidance. You gave the direction. But it is done now. It is done. Now what? Let me tell you what I thought about the other day. I am here on planet Earth. I have a father who had a father, who had a father, who had a father, who had a father, who had a father. Over scores of generations, I am here. Do I know all the mistakes, all the tragedies, all the stuff that they endured? I have no idea. What I do know is they survived and I am here. All right? So being disappointed that our children make choices that end up in ways that we didn't plan for, didn't desire, or don't think is best for them, that creates disappointment. That creates anger, sadness. But the deed is done. Wisdom now is called upon to act appropriately in that circumstance. That's the bottom line. No shunning, no shame for the child. And what shame comes to the child or the young person who has the child, let it be temporary. Let it be temporary to lead to some sense of remorse. But then to restoration in the community and the family toward a better life, a better progressive life, so that, maybe the cycle doesn't continue. So, Mr. Lang, please do more shows like this. The country needs this type of show. We do our best, my friend. This text says, Mr. Lang, I believe that almost every problem in our country can be boiled down to our one source, poor parenting. A large percentage of the parents in our country are visionless and uninspiring. You know, here's what I hear you, and I kind of get a sense of what you're saying, but here's what I see. I don't think parents in the Bahamas are trying to be lousy, lazy, visionless, or uninspiring. I think that practically every parent, I can't speak absolutely, but I think that practically every parent wants to do it well and wants to do well for their children. The problem is they dig in their bag of resources to do that, and they come up empty because there is ignorance there. There is indiscipline there. There is bad habits there. And there are things that work contrary to the very will that they have to do it better. You and I both know how that is. Paul probably said it best. He says, the thing that I should do, I do not. And that thing that I should not do, that do I. He says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall rescue me from this body of sin? In other words, Paul was saying, listen, I wrestle with the desire to do a good thing, but find myself doing a bad thing. I wrestle with the desire to stop doing this bad thing, and then find myself doing it. He says, "So to this, I find myself with this frustration." And I think there are parents who find themselves that way, and they are not intentional sometimes about the parenting exercise. Did not take the time to learn some of the things. And none of me, don't look at me, and I can't tell you that I am no book of absolutes about parenting. I'm telling you what I found, what I learned, what I saw. This much I'll say. I am intentional about parenting. That much I could say. That I understood early enough that I had a absolute responsibility to parent these children, and that I needed to arm myself with certain knowledge, and I did realize that. Boy, I got some things right, I got some things wrong, but I did realize that. So I don't think that the parent wants to be that. I just think that when they dig inside that bag, plenty of parents has come up empty. But if you're not intentional, if you have not determined, I'm not talking about having an innate desire to do it well. I'm talking about if you do not say to your conscious mind, we have to parent well, and therefore we have to come to know how to parent well, And therefore, we are setting about to learn how to parent well. If you don't do that, well, it'll be an accident, and plenty of accidents. They don't work out well for the people involved, right? This text says, good day, Mr. Lang, good show. In remembering the time in my life when I was at odds with my father, I think it was a phase, but thankfully when I was not seeking his guidance, I was in sports and had a great coach. I say that to say I see where young men can get caught up in negative things if they are not around positive activities and role models when the parent is either not there or not being sought for guidance for whatsoever reason. So let us start to support and create avenues for young persons to be guided positively. Yes. You're absolutely right, right? I mean, the first environment for that positivity is supposed to be in the home. If the home doesn't provide that positivity, then you have to hope and pray that there is that in the church and in the school. You know what I mean? And if it isn't there, then, you know, yeah, the probability is very low, very low, very low. But I'm going to explain something to you all after we come after the next break that kind of is a kind of fail-safe piece of equipment for your children. Fail-proof for your children. And it ain't easy, but I'm telling you, and it's fail-proof for you too and me. But I'll talk to you about that when we come back from the break. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. You're a wise man. I'm a single mother raising two boys, 5 and 10. And this show is very timely for me. Oh, I'm so delighted to hear that. Oh, the Lord is, listen, man, I'm so glad to hear that. You know, listen to me. I went to the children's home in Grand Bahama. My mother used to take in some of those children, bring them home for the weekends, the girls in particular, and try to be a positive force in their life. And I decided I'm going to do the same thing. And so I was saying that to say, because I feel like if a male who is prepared to be a positive force in a male child's life, if you're available, can find occasion to do something, you could do that. And so to you, as a single mother, you know, if your brothers or uncles or, you know, can be that, if they're safe, good role models, then, you know, let them help. Let them help because you're doing a noble task. I looked at a young lady who had just had a baby. Very young. She was, some might say, far too young. And she was holding that baby in her hand, and a friend of hers asked me to speak to her. And I said to her, you see that child in your hand? I said, that's your magnus opus. She's magnus opus. I said, yes. I said, that's your great work. Of all the things on planet Earth you might do, how you help that child develop will be your great work. And I want you to see it that way every day. And yes, you may struggle and stumble along the way, but if you are minded to produce a great work, you will teach yourself, you will be careful how you manage yourself and the work, and you'll do it. But that child is your magnus opus. And so you, ma'am, those two young boys of yours, beautiful young boys of yours, they are your magnus opus, your great work. And they would tell your story 1,000 years from now, in the way they produce and theirs produce and theirs produce. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together. The storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, send you know that you're not alone.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy.
Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails. And that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Sarah, how are you doing?
Okay.
Are you sure? I noticed you've been down lately.
Yeah, sometimes I don't know. I can't really put into words how I'm feeling, but I know I don't feel like myself sometimes. There's just so much going on in my life. School, friends, sports. Sometimes I worry about different things and feel stressed.
I'm glad you're talking to me. And it's okay to talk about your feeling. It's normal to feel changes depending upon what's going on around you.
Yeah?
Of course. All of us should be concerned with our mental health and our well-being. Good mental health means that we can cope with our everyday stresses. You can talk to me anytime when you feel like it.
Okay. Make sure that they check and talk more often and take things from there.
Message is brought to you by PAHO WHO and the Ministry of Health and Wellness.
With so much going on in the world today, only accepting cash at your business can be risky. Let Fidelity offer you and your customers safety, convenience, and the flexibility of a fixed or mobile terminal. Take it with you. On the go, business should never stop. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit us at any of our branches.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call in these give us a call. You can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This person says, Lang, I thought you were saying the young lady had one child, but two? In these times? Boy, Lang, I have to go skydiving, rapid river rafting, and mountain climbing before I die, but I don't have two kids at a really young age. Well, I tell you what is more brave, that she is taking on the responsibility of raising her children. She is highly courageous, and God bless her. God bless her. Bless her, bless her. Beautiful, wonderful. And she acknowledges her need for, you know, guidance and support. Man, she's brilliant. Thank you, thank you. I mean, you know, maybe she and they may have wanted it different, but she's doing what she has to do. So you go skydiving and what have you, darling. You do what you got to do. You do what you got to do. And where you need help, you ask for help. Yeah? It's Texas from Saline. Great points. Here is a question. Why are there so many single-parent homes in our country? I think it's over 60%. And most are headed by women. Where are the fathers? This is a huge part of our problems, missing fathers. I agree. First of all, children may grow up in single-parent households, but every child is the child of a couple. I'm going to say it again. There's no such thing as born
to a single parent. It ain't possible on planet Earth. It didn't even happen with the Virgin Mary, because she had at least the Father Spirit came over her, right? And God was the Father. But no, there's no such thing as a single parent child. Child got two parents. Now, maybe one of the parents is deceased, and now the one parent is the only one available. So you may grow up in a household that is led by a single person, but so long as both parents are alive, you are the child of a couple. Now, the extent to which one of them is prepared to, only one of them is participating, there are many dynamics that could be at play in that. Because sometimes you had a one-night stand that turns out to end up in pregnancy, and the fella ain't want to participate, and he can play the fool and go off on his merry way. You can't control him. You could take him to court, and the courts could try to make him do what they need to do, but that could happen. Sometimes you could have one of the parents passing away, and that could cause that too. Sometimes they don't get along, and somebody go off. Sometimes the woman say, hey, I can spite you and ain't gonna let you have access to your child. Sometimes the man say, I can spite you and ain't gonna support these children. So you could have many of things that are at work. One of the things that's true really is we don't have the same public shame attached to being pregnant outside of marriage as there was back in the day. So back in the day, a lot of times some people got pregnant even before they were married. The parents, them used to have a little hush-hush, and then you have a little shotgun wedding, and so boom, the child born in a marriage and nobody else knew. So going on back in the day, and people getting pregnant before marriage, but back in the day there was a shame attached to being pregnant outside of marriage, and so therefore people did the necessary to make sure they could get rid of that or avoid that shame. That is not so much the case today. These days now, being a single mother, being a woman who have a child, that can almost be a brand now. You know what I mean? You could flash that now as that's a thing. You know what I mean? And so it ain't that kind of party. So people don't feel obligated now to be married in order to have sex and then in order to have children. That cultural norm has faded a long time ago now. So that might explain some of that. But I think that the non-participation of fathers in the parenting of their children, the non-participation of mothers in the parenting of their children, creates a less than optimal situation for the child to develop properly. It does. It doesn't mean the child can't. It just means that it's harder and it's less optimal than I think it was intended to be. This text says, Lang, I ain't trying to insult her, but my brother, I applaud her for taking the less taken path, which is taking accountability and responsibility for our actions and being willing to learn and adapt. Just saying, it ain't easy out here for others listening, so think twice. I agree with you. It's not the ideal situation at certain ages and in certain circumstances. I agree with you, but, you know, it is what it is. And two children really ain't, you know. One child for a single person, one child for two people could be a challenge. Two for two people could be a challenge. You know what I mean? So, you know, it could be a challenge. This text says, an individual recognizes the supremacy of God High, his place in the nuclear family, if that's his desire, respect for himself and others. Promote a good foundation, which should include some formal education and the desire to make preparation to support himself through work and by extension, possibly a family, to promote self-inspection, to find his gift, to be able to use that to make room for himself in the world, to encourage him to seek knowledge and guidance from sober sources, to have patience and always think before making important decisions, to keep a salient environment and shun negative activities and individuals as friends. One that would follow and emulate positive role models, if that includes me. Someone who can discern right from wrong and always try to do what is right in the sight of his God and to take care of the physical and spiritual man he has become. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Hey, bro. Excellent. You know, excellent. We're talking about, what are you raising? You're raising a man. So he hit on practically all the points that I would hit on if you're raising a man. So let me get to that before we run out of time, right? You're raising a man. First of all, me, you're raising a man, you want to raise somebody who is searching for his creator. You want to raise a boy who's searching for his creator. Why? Because where purpose is unknown, says the late Dr. Miles Monroe, abuse is almost inevitable. And so who better to tell a man what he should be than his creator? You know, notice I said his creator. I ain't getting caught up in who you call it and who you call him and all that kind of stuff. All I want him to do is know you ain't here by yourself. Go search for your creator. Now, I would give you some ideas who I think the creator is. But one day you got to yourself, right? So I want him to be a searcher for his creator. Right? That's what I want him to do. And then I want him to be a seeker of wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding, because in wisdom's right hand is riches. Left hand, life forever. So I want you to be a seeker of wisdom. That's a man. I want you to be a man. I want you to be independent in your thinking, meaning that you are drawing on your own learning, on your own thought process to evaluate what you believe to be the case, and then you are trying to make judgments. But while you be independent, I want you to live independently with other people. I want you to learn how to, this a man. A man knows how to stand on his own when he has to, but he knows how to work with other people when it's required. So he's independent, but he's also interdependent. Be a man, I want you to be somebody who understands that my sense of wellness, my sense of value, my sense of wholeness comes not from anything outside of me, including a woman. You hear me? It comes from within me, for inside of me is where the kingdom dwells. That's where the righteousness is, and that's where the peace is, and that's where the joy is, and I can have them all outside of anything you could give to me or you could put around me. Those things are only things I enjoy. I want to be a man. I want to be a humble, gentle, patient soul. I want to be a man. You're raising somebody who has faith, who is hopeful, who has love. Above all else, who has love. You want to be a man? You have to be someone who is able to say, in this I have failed. My God, my family, all my community, I repent and ask forgiveness. And now I will set about to make it all right. That's a man. The other day, I was by the airport. And this young man, he and the Bahamas Air attendant got into some issue. And man, he was carrying on about it. He was carrying on. It's like, let me get out of this place. This is why I don't like to be there anyway. Let me get out of this. Let me get out of this. Oh, blah, 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 blah. And so forth and so forth. And like 2 minutes later, I watched him. I watched this young man walk up to the ladies. And he said it enough loud for enough people to hear. He says, you know what? I am so sorry. I should not have behaved that way. I am not that kind of person. I was not brought up that way, and I apologize. I should not have done that. Boy, let me tell you something. I walk up to him, I shake his hand, and I say, son, you are a man. You are a man. I said, that's how we do it. We own our crap. We own our stuff, and we move on to fix it, to correct it. You are a man. You raising a man? You raise somebody who learns how to take responsibility. Don't blame nobody for their lack of success. Oh, if the government them did, or if the church them did, always blaming somebody for their failings. You ain't no man. You're not a fully matured man. Doesn't do that. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, we will continue and finalize our discussions. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Whether your business is in store, on the go, or both, let Fidelity work with you to maximize your customers' payment options with a fixed or mobile terminal so that you never miss a sale. It's safer than cash and more convenient so that you can take your business anywhere. For details, contact a business development officer today at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport or visit our website, com.
First installment of Fish Fry Fridays promises to be a classic. Friday, January 27th, it's a massage throwback to the days of 601. As former lead vocalist Colin Nasty Boy McDonald reunites with Sean Wild Boy Ferguson and the rest of the Massage Excitement Posse. It all goes down at Margaritaville, downtown Nassau at the 12-volt bar. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. $25 entry fee. Or enjoy the fish fry buffet for only $55 before the event and enjoy complimentary access.
Who is it?
It's the plumber. I've come to fix this.
Margaritaville, downtown Nassau, and Visage presents the special edition of Fish Fry Fridays with special guest Colin McDonald. Friday, January 27th, Fish Fry Fridays.
You mashed the car?
I ain't mashed the car. The lady who ran into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. Let me tell y'all something, boy. I'm reading some stuff. Y'all are inspiring me. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for your words today. This text is from Selang. I'm a 35-year-old man. Listen to this, folks. I've been married for 5 years, and I have a one-year-old son. He will be 2 in May. Says the only thing people ask is when we're having another child. Not many people seem to understand the investment of time and energy required to parent successfully. Thank you for this show. Wow. Wow. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing. And every success with you and your wife with the investment you all are making in your child. Listen to this, folks. The greatest want of the world is the want of men. Men who will not be bought or sold. Men who in their inmost souls are fair to call sin by its right name. Men whose conscience is as true to duty as the needle is to the pole. Men who will stand for the right though the heavens fall. This is from the book Education, page 57 by E.G. White. Thank you for sharing that.
really beautiful. This text says, Bringing Up Boys by Dr. James Dobson is a book I highly recommend, a great resource for those who enjoy reading. Yes, Dr. James Dobson, Raising Boys. This text says, just catching the end of your tremendous show regarding verbal abuse of women. It is horrifying, the language that some males use towards females and the language that some females accept to be spewed at them. Real men must show males what is acceptable speech as men. I agree with you 100%. I want to read y'all something as we near to our close. Something that has been an inspiration to me for many years. Many years. Many, many years. So there is a great poet among the poets who wrote a poem that for me is so beautifully inspiring. So if you are a father or a mother and you want a task that you could do with your boy, it's a father or mother or a guardian, the boy that you are parenting, I invite you to grab hold of a poem by Rudyard Kipling, If. I want you to listen to it. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired of waiting, or being lied upon, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to, broken and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools, if you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss, and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss, if you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings, nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you, but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it, and which is more, you will be a man, my son. Woo! I'm going to read it again. Listen, man. This is a man. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired of waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good, nor talk too wise. If you make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same,
If you can bear to hear the truth you have spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to, broken, and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools. If you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss, and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you, but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it, and which is more, you'll be a man, my son. Listen, man, God bless you in your endeavor, in your efforts to parent your boys. I trust all the best for you. God bless you. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I trust and hope that you have a great evening. If God spares life, we'll talk to you again tomorrow on Far Back Friday. You all do well.